Thank you, Greg. Welcome, church family, those of you who are worshiping with me and my family here, and those of you who are joining online, welcome. Great to have you watching. And maybe you feel like my mother-in-law, who as the service started and she saw that wipeout game, she said, I'm not going to be doing that next Sunday. And that's okay. You can come and watch, and you can watch Chris, you know, knock out Steve and vice versa. And it'll be just fun entertainment. And so look forward to seeing many of you. And this afternoon, our baptism, I'm just looking forward to that. I was thinking this morning, as I was praying for each of the people getting baptized, I was thinking, wow, Greg, I think this is the most baptisms we've had in the summer for like at least a decade, eh? Like, this is incredible. Like, God is at work. And we are joining God in what He's doing. And so we're just celebrating. And I pray this morning that, yeah, we would just magnify Jesus this day. So great to have you guys along. Love you guys as we continue our series, Rhythms for Healthy Souls. And I want to start by talking about two problems in our society. The first is a hurry problem. When you ask somebody how they're doing, how do they respond often? Busy. I'm really busy. Doesn't matter if they're single or married, if they have a family, don't have a family. It doesn't matter if they're a student or a retiree. They often respond by saying, busy. And this busyness drives us to hurry. We're never caught up, right? It's often on Friday afternoons where I'm looking at my to-do list or my weekly list and thinking, man, I didn't get to see such and such a person. I didn't get to start such and such a project. I'm behind on this. And we can feel like we're drowning in our to-do list. We feel it at home. We feel it at work. We feel it all over the place. Everywhere we turn, our to-do list is never ending. And so we hurry in order to get ahead, to get caught up. But the problem is, hurry is the enemy of the spiritual life. Dallas Willard had these words posted on his refrigerator. Hurry involves excessive haste or a state of emergency. It is associated with words such as hurl, hurdle, hurly-burly, meaning uproar, hurricane. Hurry is a state of frantic effort one falls into in response to inadequacy, fear, and guilt. Wow. Hurry, in essence, is too much to do. As Carl Jung said, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. And how does the devil show up? Well, the devil shows up with a notification on your phone for the next appointment or the pinging of some response to your Instagram post or the fact that we can't stop at a stop sign in the lower mainland and we treat them all like yield signs. But we feel the effects of this continual hurry, right? There's fatigue on the body, fatigue on the mind, and fatigue in our soul. The fatigue on our body. We are sleeping 2.5 hours less per night than our ancestors did a century ago. Think about that. We've got so many more time-saving gadgets and devices now than they did back then. But we're sleeping far less. But we push our body because now we have coffee and Red Bull and so many others like that. And then there's fatigue of the mind. We're just constantly bombarded with information now, right? Information that we don't have time to process or absorb. And ultimately, there's fatigue of the soul. That we have little room for margin for God in our lives. And this ability to foster life-giving rhythms. And what's the result of this hurry? Well, we become irritable, restless, hypersensitive, and we live with nonstop activity. We become emotionally numb. We long to escape. But the hurry problem in our society, I believe, is just a symptom of a deeper problem. And that's an identity problem. We have a hurry problem, but also an identity problem. That we have been transformed from human beings to human doings. What do you sometimes say to kids? What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, we're not really asking that question, are we? Because what if they were to respond, well, I want to be more compassionate, more kind, loving, full of peace. We'd say, that doesn't pay the bills. No, what do you? When we're asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? We're really asking, what do you want to do when you grow up? And we've moved from being human beings to human doings. And we often get our identity from what we do. And we can easily equate who we are with what we do. And we readily believe the lie in our society that we are what we produce. And the gift of Shabbat, which we're going to talk about today, reminds us that our identity is not based upon what you produce. You are more than what you do. And we don't bow down to the idols in our society, the idols of success and productivity. And Shabbat is resistance against those. I like what Walter Brueggemann says. He says, in our contemporary context of the rat race of anxiety, the celebration of Sabbath is an act of both resistance and alternative. It is resistance because it is a visible insistence that our lives are not defined by production and commodity goods. And I ripped off from that the title for my message this morning, Practicing Sabbath as Resistance. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 as we look at these words around Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20 is part of God's Ten Commandments here. Exodus 20, I'm going to read from verse 8 to verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Now, Jesus, I'm asking you to take your word right now and speak it. Speak it into our hearts. Speak it into our schedule. Speak it into our priorities. Speak it into our values in our lives, I pray. Amen. So we've got this long list of the Ten Commandments here. Anything jump out at you from those verses I just read? Like for me, it's the length there. This is God's top 10 list. He's talking about important things, you know. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder. But here this commandment around the Sabbath takes up 30% of the 10 commandments. Like, why would that be? Like, he starts out by saying, you know, to put him first, no idols, to revere his name, and then to talk at length about Sabbath. Why is this such a high priority for God? No doubt for those who first heard these words, they had just spent 400 years in slavery. That must have been incredibly life-giving for them. Because according to Ken Shigematsu, of the ancient documents in our world, there is no prior record of any civilization on the planet where everyday ordinary people were given a day off. And for the people of Israel, what they knew up to that point was simply slavery. That was their identity. 400 years of slavery, laboring under the hot sun, building bricks for Pharaoh's latest building project. And so God comes along and says, remember the Sabbath. The Hebrew word is Shabbat. Everybody say that with me. Shabbat. It literally means to stop. To Shabbat is to stop, to cease, to rest. The Shabbat is a 24-hour period in a given week where we cease. We stop. We stop working. We stop worrying. We stop wanting. We stop making a to-do list. We just stop. Shabbat is a 24-hour period of life renewal. We cease from all working, all thinking about work, all worrying about work, all doing. We stop. We move from our have to our get to. We rest. The word Shabbat can imply rest for our souls, rest for the whole person, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. We cease striving and just delight in God. And that's the third meaning of the word delight. That for a 24-hour period, once per 7 days, we pamper our souls. Our souls may deteriorate in the previous 6 days in the rat race of life, but once per week, we step away from that rat race and we practice rhythms that grow our delight of God. And fourthly, the word means worship, that we move our hearts to adoration of God and surrender of ourselves back to Him. We often think of Sabbath as just part of the weekend, that it's a day of rest. But before it's a day of rest, it's a day of ceasing, to stop. The Sabbath is not a day to catch up on what you missed doing during the week. We in our society, we tend to work 5 days of the week, then we have a day off, and then we Sabbath. And Sabbath is not another day off. We have paid work, we have unpaid work, and then we have Sabbath, when we cease. We don't catch up. If we do so, we risk what Eugene Peterson, the guy who translated the message in the Bible, calls a bastard Sabbath. And we desecrate the day from how God intended it to be. Sabbath is a day we cease work, we cease productivity, we cease anxiety, we cease trying to be God. Any cooking show fans who enjoys on YouTube or TV watching cooking shows? There's cooking shows too, making cookies. You got a favorite one? Any favorite ones you got? I'm hearing a few there. When I Googled top cooking shows, this one came up, Chopped. Any who enjoys watching Chopped or MasterChef? Some of you like watching MasterChef. Or the third one, Amy, you'll find this interesting, was the Great British Cooking Show. Hey, okay, I see your parents are here. Yeah, from England. Now, is that popular in England? Yeah, the Great British Cooking Show? Now, I got to ask this. Now, in England, do they have the Great Canadian Cooking Show? Nothing like that, eh? No? We're making beaver tails, you know, which, you know, is our national food. I only learned that when President Obama came up and they gave him that a few years back. And they said, this is our national food. I went, really? Yeah. So we don't have the Great Canadian Cooking Shows over there, eh? But anyways, on all these cooking shows, what happens? The buzzer goes, and what do the judges say? You gotta stop, right? You gotta put your hands up, you can't touch anything, you can't cut anything, you can't change anything. You just put your hands up and you step away from what you've prepared. And that, friends, is what the Sabbath is. It's a 24-hour period where we put up our hands and we stop. We step away and we cease. Like I said, the commandment on Sabbath here takes up 30% of the Ten Commandments. Take a look in verse 8 in your Bible. What's the first word you've got there? It's remember. Everybody say that word, remember. The Israelites are told to remember the Sabbath day. And by remember, God doesn't just mean a cognitive exercise. Oh, I've got to remember. Otherwise, he wouldn't go in so many details there in those verses about what to do and not do on the Sabbath. It's like when he says earlier in the book of Exodus, he says, I remember you in your slavery. That's not God up in heaven going, oh yeah, I notice. Oh, you're going through a hard time. No, remember when he says, I remember you in your slavery, it means God acted. God came down after 400 years they had endured that slavery, and he rescued his people. He redeemed them. He set them free from that. It'd be like if I said to my wife, Sheila, on May 17th, I'd say, oh yeah, I remember, it's our anniversary. Happy anniversary. Is she going to be happy with that? No, right? You know, remembering the anniversary means more than that, right? It means going out for supper. It may mean a gift, you know, flower. I always risk asking a question with my wife involved in it, eh? Should have thought of another metaphor. But remembering the Sabbath, it likewise, like my anniversary, involves some action. Action that you and I have to do. He says, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. That means set apart, making it sacred. Sabbath reminds us that we are not God. What do we remember? We remember that we are not God. We cannot work without ceasing because something will give within us. A bow that's always bent will eventually break. A weekly Sabbath reminds us that our identity comes from God. We are more than what we produce. Sabbath forces us to deliberately slow down, that there's more to life than hurry, busyness, and doing. And deliberately not having a to-do list on the Sabbath, and I'll get to in a few minutes what we do on Shabbat, we place ourselves at the mercy of God. Recognizing we're not what we produce. And we step away for that 24-hour period, remind ourselves of God and his provision for us in our life. It all doesn't depend upon us. And weekly, we're reminded of our new identity, of who we are as God's children. Because so often, we can turn to things in our culture and our society for that meaning, for that identity. And we turn that into an idol. When we hear the word idol, we often think of statues of gold, wood, silver. And we tend not to have those idols in our society here in the West, but we have other idols, right? Idols of success, idols of work, idols of production that we sometimes get our identity from. Oh, the human heart is an idol factory. I think John Calvin said that. And so once per week, we remind ourselves that our identity comes from God. In the Sabbath, we put our hands up and surrender to God, who invites us to consider our position as his children. And Sabbath reminds us that we work from rest. See, in our society, we tend to have a rhythm that goes something like this. Work, work, work. Work, 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 I need a holiday. Or work, 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 ah, it's the weekend. And then work, 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 work. But the Bible invites us to a different rhythm, a countercultural one, that we work from rest. Now, full disclosure, I can explain this theologically far better than I can live it experientially. But let me try. And those of you who are ahead of me, talk to me after the service. In the Bible, we begin with rest, not work. See, that's the rhythm. That in Genesis chapter 1, we read that God created. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the sun and the moon. God created the stars. God created the animals. Then God creates people. And then he rests on the seventh day. God works and then he rests. But people, what do our first parents do? Their first day, they rest and then they work. We rest, getting our provision, our strength, our energy from God, and then we do our work from that posture of rest. In our text, the Israelites are given a weekly Sabbath, not as a means to earn grace, but as a gift from God. that God has redeemed and rescued them from their years in slavery. Prior to that, they just had that identity as slaves. But now they're invited to follow God, and it begins with the Sabbath. And so I'd say, friends, don't see Sabbath as some means of grace. Don't think, oh, I deserve the Sabbath. No, it's a gift from God. You may deserve a day off, and Sabbath is different than just a day off. Sabbath is not a way to earn God's goodness or grace in your life. We don't see it through the legalistic of attitude of, well, I better work hard in order to rest. No, we rest, and then we work hard from that. See, that's how the biblical writers also view the day. See, how do we tend to see the day? We think, well, we wake up. Oh, it's Sunday. It's a new day. But that's not how the biblical writers saw it. How do they start Genesis? It was evening and morning the first day. It was evening and morning the second day. That the days in Hebrew thought begin in the evening. That it starts with rest and then moves to production during the day. You may want to consider that even as you think about your Sabbath. What are the 24 hours that you set apart? Will you kind of step back, put your hands up? You may want to start in the evening. You know, Orthodox Jews to this day who practice the Shabbat, they begin Friday at 7 p.m. for that 24-hour time period. Thirdly, Sabbath reminds us that our work is never done. This is the most painful part for me. I want to complete my to-do list. To leave it unfinished is just to put me further behind. Right when I look at my to-do list or my weekly goals for the week on Friday, let's say at 5 o'clock, and I think, oh man, I didn't get to that, I didn't do this. Now, if I leave it till Monday, then I'm just further behind. Or on Saturday when I make my to-do list for chores, for unpaid work, I mean, if I don't get to it, then I'm thinking, oh, I'm behind for the next week. But think about it. When will we ever get caught up, right? How often are you caught up? Like, how long does that feeling last, right? Till you start thinking of some other things. And think about it. You will go to your grave with things undone on your to-do list, right? You will pass away. And there will be goals that you never got a chance to finish. Like I said, on the Food Network, when the buzzer goes and the judges announce, step away from the dish, you can't add some salt and pepper. You can't put a smidge of cilantro on. You can't add a taste of color here or there. You just put your hands up and step away. And we do the same on the Sabbath. And it reminds us that our work is never done. We labor day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But for one 24-hour period, every single 7 days, we remind ourselves to step away. And it will never be done. And someday we will see God face to face. Fourthly, Sabbath reminds us that we choose presence over production. I remember many years ago, Bill Gates was asked by a magazine. His wife had at the time had been attending church. And he was asked why he doesn't attend church. And he said this, in the terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. And you know what? He's right. He's right if you view life through a lens of production, that we are what we do. And if we're going to get our identity from that production, to cease for 24 hours doesn't make sense. But if we recognize our identity is not earned, but rather it's given, then we choose presence over production. Being present with God, being present with others, being present with ourselves, and we cease And we notice. We delight. We unplug from the daily routines of the previous 6 days. And we recreate. We're restored spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Well, what do we do on the Sabbath? Well, traditionally, there are 12 activities that mark Sabbath practice. Lighting the candles, blessing the children, eating a meal, singing, worshiping with your community, walking, napping, making love to your spouse, reading, spending time alone with God, spending time with family and friends, gratitude. Now, some of those things on that list may not be life-giving to you. They may not apply to you. And the point is not the list. This is not a to-do list. The Sabbath doesn't become another to-do list. What are we supposed to do? No, it will look unique and distinct for each of us. It's 24 hours once per week when you pamper your soul in the presence of God. Remember the meaning of the word Shabbat? To cease, rest, delight, worship. And like I said, it will look different for each of us. First thing I read there was to light candles. In the Hebrew tradition, there's the lighting of the candles for the 24-hour period of Shabbat that begins it. And one of the candles is the candle of remembrance based upon the first word there that I had read in the scripture reading, remember the Sabbath. The other candle is for the word observe, which shows up in the Deuteronomy equivalent of this passage. And that's a whole other message around what we are to observe. And so for this 24-hour period, we remember, we observe. And so you may, for your Shabbat, maybe want to start with lighting candle. The first thing you want to do is you want to choose what is or when is that 24-hour period for you going to be. Because you've got to prepare, right? You've got to plan. If you're going to follow God's word to do this, it means some preparation ahead of time, right? Because if you're going to literally step up and put the hands up and step away, you've got to plan. So when would that be in the rhythm of your week? You know, again, that could look different for some of us. You know, if you're a shift worker, you know, and you often find yourself working on weekends, then, yeah, doing it on a Saturday or Sunday may not apply to you. At the moment, I do mine Saturday 7 p.m. till Sunday 7 p.m. Saturday 7 p.m., I step away. No more to do. No more have to for the next 24 hours. It's what I get to for that 24-hour period. And so for me, I work Monday to Friday for paid work. Thank you for paying me. Yeah. So I have labor that I work at that I get paid for. And then for me, Saturday is when I do unpaid work. That's the chores that need to be done. You know, cleaning the bathrooms, vacuuming, yard work, you name it. Errands, grocery run, all that kind of thing. And then I have my Sabbath. Like I said, it could look different for each of us. And what you do or don't do on Shabbat can look different. So let's say, for my wife Sheila, oh great, now I'm using her as an example again. She would find yard work being life-giving. I know it's crazy, eh? She enjoys, getting the lawnmower out and trimming, pulling weeds, that kind of thing. That gives her delight. Me, I ain't doing that on my 24-hour Sabbath. That is a chore. Again, that can look different, Last week we saw Mark, with this wrench, and maybe turning the wrench. That's a get-to. For me, if there was something on my car that I needed to fix, I'm thinking that's a have-to. That's not a get-to. So again, that can look different for each of us. But let's start with, when would that 24-hour period be? And are you willing to do that? Because it's going to take some sacrifice to do it, right? Those of you who are students, you know, I can just imagine what it would mean to step away from your studies for a 24-hour period once per week. It'll look different for us. It's a commitment, but it will pay dividends in your soul. Some people do a digital detox on the Sabbath, that they step away from technology. They unplug. They go offline. Anybody do that as part of your Sabbath rhythm? I would say for myself, that's more a aspirational value than an actual one. I kind of admire people who do that, who can step away, you know, from news and social media and other stuff for part of the Sabbath or all of the Sabbath. Like I said, it'll look different for each of us. But there's no to-do list. It's a day free from the shoulds, the ought to's, free from anxiety and worry. On your Sabbath, you do something different than the previous 6 days. We pause. We pause our ambitions. We pause our goals. And we experience life anew in Christ. Well, I've given you some of the theological underpinning. I've told you some of the practical how. Let's talk about the why. Why do a Sabbath anyways? Because some of you may be like I used to be. Sabbath? That's something from the Old Testament. Sounds so ancient. But Jesus practiced Shabbat. And the New Testament writers speak of it. Or maybe you have this attitude that I used to have, a real idiotic attitude, I got to admit for myself, that said, oh, the devil never takes a day off. Yeah, he's the devil. And we know how it ends. He loses in the end. So why would we want to follow the devil? Why Sabbath? It's an act of resistance. Resistance against the messages of our culture, particularly around production and work. It's one day when we get off the hamster wheel of life and we renew. We don't earn it. We receive it. And we free ourselves from the compulsive desire to produce. And we realize that we are God's beloved children, apart from anything we do. And we rejoice in that. And we spend the day, 24 hours, with our hands up, away from the to-do list. And like the ancient Israelites who received these words when in the midst of their identity as slaves, life-giving words because God had rescued and redeemed them. Likewise, we look to the cross and to the empty tomb and we realize that Jesus has rescued us. Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus has given us new life in Him. And so we remind ourselves of that every single week. What about you, friends? What would your Sabbath look like? How many right now would say, you practice, you're doing Sabbath, you practice a 24-hour time period that looks different than the other 6 days? Okay, we've got a couple hands up that are doing that. Yeah, you practice it. Some of you are, maybe kind of thing. Yeah, okay. If you practice the Sabbath, I want you to stand right now. Go ahead, stand, those of you who put your hands up. Okay, maybe these are some people you can chat with in terms of being examples. Now, how many would say, and those of you who are watching online, you can stand where you are watching. How many would say this is your desire? You would want that, to do that. If that's your desire, I want you to stand right now to say, okay, I'm going to make a spiritual commitment right now, right here, in front of my friends here at church or in front of my family or whoever I'm watching with, that I'm going to make the spiritual commitment that once per week, I'm going to set aside 24 hours. I'm going to do that. Okay. You want to make that commitment? All right. I might ask some of you about it. That's why I'm looking at you. And we can hold each other lovingly accountable to do this so that our souls can be more healthy, friends. That's what the series is all about, right? Rhythms for healthy souls. And God knows best what's healthy for you. So let me pray for those of you who want to make this commitment. Well, why don't we just take some moments of silence right now? Those of you who are standing at home, those of you who are standing here in the auditorium, I want you to hear from the Lord. What's that going to look like for you? Because this week has got to be different from last week. If you're practicing Shabbat. So Jesus, I pray you would speak to each of us right now, right here. Jesus, I thank you that you are speaking to people who are gathered here at Grace Point, who are watching online with us. You're speaking about a new rhythm for their life. I pray your strength, your energy to do that. Jesus, there's all the things in our society, all the things that even this week, as we think about making preparation for Sabbath, we just think, oh, I can't do that. The devil will lie to us. Our culture will lie to us. But you know what's best. And so I pray that down the road we would hear stories of Grace Pointers who courageously stepped up to say, I want my life to be different. I want my life to follow you. Jesus, enlarge our souls. In your name I pray.